What's up, Bridge City Church? How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all good? Well, listen, it's an honor to be back up here, to have the privilege to deliver the Word of God this morning. If I haven't had the privilege to introduce myself yet or meet you, my name's Nick Stepanovic. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church at the White Oak campus, and I'm so excited to be here with you this morning, worshiping God and praising His name. And listen, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all. And over the past month, I've been healing and recovering, and I've gotten to learn a lot. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to learn a lot over the last 2 years of dealing with some health issues. And one of the things that I've gotten to learn is that pastoring actually... probably like 4% of pastoring is preaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings, getting to preach here. The other 96% is Monday through Saturday and getting to empower you all and equip you all and encourage you all and just be in your lives. So I just want to say thank you to the guys that got to do the part here on Sunday morning and preach the Word of God here on Sunday morning. You know, Pastor Rick and Pastor Larry and Rob Benedetti and Gavin Hassel and Matt Klingensmith and all those guys. Thank you so much for those guys and everything that they did. And thank you to Kevin Broom and Patrick Van Horn and Nate Armstrong and Jordan Armstrong and all the worship leaders. And last but certainly not least, my beautiful wife, Rachel, for all that you do and everything that you are and all that you do behind the scenes. Rachel deals with a lot. She does a lot that you all will never see and deals with a lot that you will never have to deal with and puts up with a lot that you all will never have to put up with. Most of you never get to see me when I'm hangry. It's a blessing for you all. And God's removed you all from that, which you should thank Him for that. You really should. And you've never had to help me up off of the couch, or anyways, I'll save you all from that. I just looked over and saw two of my neighbors. Maybe I'll call you, Brandon, in the middle of the night when I need help up or something like that. I'm getting surgery possibly in a couple weeks to finally heal this foot up. I won't be able to walk for 2 weeks maybe, so a couple of you guys might be getting phone calls because Rachel wasn't built for that. She's already told me that, which is very clear. She's 5'3" on a good day, and I'm 6'7" on a good day, and she wasn't made for that. So a couple of you guys might be getting phone calls, like literally a couple of you guys at the same time might be getting phone calls, but that's for another day. I appreciate your prayers, your love, your support. But today we're going to continue the teaching on the book of Acts. And this has been a great series. It'll continue to be a great series. And I've just been so encouraged by it because the book of Acts is really a playbook for the church. It's a playbook for who we are and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as the church. And today is not going to be a warm and fuzzy message. It may be warm and fuzzy because of who's delivering it, but it is not going to be a warm and fuzzy message, okay? It is not going to make you leave here and say, oh, this is just so great. I just feel so warm and cuddly. Okay? It's not. You're not going to get yelled at, but you're going to have to answer some hard questions. And that's the goal. The goal is to get you to feel empowered. The goal is to get you to feel encouraged. But the goal is to get you to answer some questions and to know some things. And here's what we want you to know. We want you to know that the Holy Spirit is powerful. We all good with that? Yes. And here's the second part, that the Holy Spirit is not to be taken lightly. He means business. He's not to be taken lightly. Here's what we want you to do, that we should all strive, all of us, that we should all strive to live an honest and transparent life before God. That every single one of us should strive to live an honest and transparent life before God and have a willingness. Everybody say willingness.
Willingness.
When y'all said willingness, willy-nilly just popped into my head. I don't know why. It's just who I am. Willy-nilly. It's a funny word, isn't it? Willy-nilly. All willy-nilly. Didn't happen during the first, but it happened during the second. A willingness to be used by Him. Strive to be honest, to be transparent, and a willingness to be used by Him. That's what I want us to do. I want us to all feel a conviction that at times we don't give our all to God. That we all feel a healthy conviction, not condemnation, because that is not from God. A healthy conviction that we don't always give our all to God, but to feel empowered that God wants us to do amazing things for Him, and He wants to do amazing things through us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for what You're going to do today. Lord, I thank You for what You have planned to do. Lord, thank You for all the people that are here today. God, open our ears, open our hearts. Maybe not just be hearers of Your word, but maybe we be doers of it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Acts 17:6. These men who have turned the world upside down. This is our launching verse for the entire series. It has been and it will be. This is our desire, that we allow for the Holy Spirit to work through us and that the world outside is turned upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we want you to know that the Holy Spirit is powerful, but we want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not to be taken lightly. That we respect the power that He is. Now listen, there are powers in our world that can be used for good, but can be used for bad at the same time. Let's use one as an example. You ready? If you're not, I'm cool. I'll stop. We can pack it up and go home. Get ready for the snow. Go get bread and toilet paper and milk. Do the whole Mon Valley thing. You ready? You ready? Okay. Okay, cool. I'm glad we're good. All right. So, nuclear power. Everybody heard of that before? Okay. I'm believing for miracles today. Okay. So, we're going to take a pause here because I believe we still serve a God of the miraculous. I really believe that. You want an example of why I believe that?
Yes.
Okay, the Bengals are in the AFC Championship game. Okay? Okay, that's a sign. That is a sign. Now, if the Browns get there, that's it. Jesus is coming back. I'm looking at you, bro. I'm looking at you. If the Browns get there, Jesus is coming back. Get ready. Okay, nuclear power. Nuclear power can be used for really good things. Yesterday, it was 0 degrees when we all woke up. I was very thankful for electricity. I was very thankful for those things. Now, nuclear power, it can generate electricity for entire cities, entire regions. It can do amazing things if used correctly. But nuclear energy can also destroy cities. It can destroy states. It can destroy countries, okay? So the same power that can do good is the same power that can do bad things. The same power that can be used for good is the same power that can be used for bad things. So we need to be sure that the power of the Holy Spirit, that we're harnessing that power for good. That we're understanding that that power of the Holy Spirit needs to be not taken lightly and used in a good way. And that is to change the world around us. That is to be used in a pure, pure way. We need to recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what the church was birthed out of. The church was birthed in the worshiping, ministering power of the Holy Spirit. This is our DNA at Bridge City Church. The DNA of Bridge City Church, we were birthed through the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the book of Acts. Today we're going to be talking about Acts 5, and I'm encouraging you to read Acts 5 throughout the week this week, to unpack it on your own, to journal on your own, to spend time with God in Acts 5 on your own, because we can't do it all today in the next 45 minutes together. But Acts 5, we're going to break it down into two sections, Acts 5, 1 through 11. We're going to talk about what it looks like to see purity preserved. And then Acts 12 through 16, what it looks like to see power displayed. But the Holy Spirit power is an outworking of the presence of Jesus. Let's give context to Acts 5. Acts 5 is coming on the heels of a great move of unity and generosity in Acts 4. And it was sparked by a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in response to persecution and prayer. The move of the Holy Spirit just created a great experience and environment in chapter 4. There was one heart and soul in verse 33. There was a powerful preaching in verse 33. There was a great grace in verse 33. There was no needy among them, we see in verse 34 in chapter 4. The Holy Spirit was literally transforming society through these people. People were being changed and transformed. The society around them was being changed. But the enemy found a way to creep in and attempted to disrupt what God was doing. Because the enemy does not like when the society starts being changed and when God starts taking ground and he tries to creep in and break things down. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a warning here. All that I just mentioned above, the great preaching, the no needy among them, the great grace, the one heart, the one soul, all that was great, really palatable stuff. But what happens next, it might be hard for all of you to stomach. But sometimes when the enemy tries to take hold of stuff, it should be hard for us to stomach. It should make us angry. It should disturb us a little bit. It should make us uncomfortable. It should tick us off a little bit. That's part of my job. If I'm not making you uncomfortable, I'm not doing my job. Nowhere in my job description does it tell me that I'm supposed to just tickle your ears and make you feel comfortable. I'm supposed to prepare you for eternity. I have to stand before God one day and answer for your life, not just mine. That's a weight. So here we go, Acts 5, verses 1 through 2. But there was a certain man named Ananias. Everybody say Ananias. Ananias. It's a fun name. It's a fun name to say. Who, with his wife Sapphira. Everybody say Sapphira. Sapphira. Anybody else think of the makeup shop? I'm just saying, it's who I am, guys. It's who I am. All right, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some property, okay? They made a real estate transaction. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Now let's talk about their names a little bit. Ananias was Hebrew. It meant graciousness of God. Sapphira was Aramaic. It meant beautiful. Now here we see a husband and a wife who've gotten caught up in the moment. Can any of us relate to that at all? Any of you ever gotten caught up in the moment before? You get caught up in the moment a little bit? I'm the only one? Okay. I've gotten caught up in the moment before. You allow for what's happening around you to dictate your response a little bit, your actions, what you do. Let's jump back for a moment. Let's see how maybe, just maybe, how Ananias and Sapphira got caught up in the moment. Let's go back to Acts 4, verses 36 and 37. Maybe this will help us to relate to them a little bit. For instance, there was Joseph, the one who the apostles nicknamed Barnabas. I just love how the apostles nicknamed somebody. Let's just give that dude a nickname. Let's just call him Barnabas. Imagine the conversation that went into that. Like, how did they pick that? Let's call that dude Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Now, let's have fun with this for a second, okay? Nowhere do I find in the Bible where it says you can't have fun in church, okay? Can we have fun for a minute? Okay, let's have fun. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Remember, that's his nickname. His nickname literally means the son of encouragement. From the tribe of Levi, the island of Cyprus. How impressive does that sound? Imagine if that's how they announced you when you walked in somewhere. Kevin, his son Levi. He bleeds encouragement. No, I'm just kidding. Sold a field and brought all the money to the apostles, okay? This is Barnabas here. This happened in Acts 4, which is right before Acts 5, where we read about Ananias and Sapphira. What if they're just trying to keep up with Barnabas? What if they're just trying to keep up with Barnabas? What if this is the first time we're seeing somebody just keep up with the Joneses? Anybody ever heard that saying before? I don't know about you. I don't know any Joneses, but I've spent a whole lot of times in my life trying to keep up with them. It's kind of what I like to say, the Mon Valley spirit. You're just trying to keep up with people. You're just trying to get by. Keep up with what other people are doing. Just maybe they're doing that. I don't know. But they got taken up by the moment here. So let's keep going. Verses 3 and 4. Peter said to them, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? I don't know about you all. I think we could all be in agreement here. I never want anyone to say to me, or to you, why have you let Satan fill your heart? Can we agree with that? Okay, thank you for all replying pretty quickly with that, okay? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you have kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So, verse 3, we find out the reason for their deception. Satan had filled their hearts so that they would lie to the Holy Spirit. So here's the question. Here's where it gets real. Room full of people. How many of us lie to the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about your real estate transactions. I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about when we don't give our all to Him. When we say, oh God, you can have this, but you can't have that. I'm talking about your time. Oh God, you can have this 75 minutes on a Sunday morning, but don't try to touch my Sunday afternoon. Oh God, you could have this time, but you can't have this time. Oh God, you could have this part of my gifting, but you can't have this. Oh God, I work with kids Monday through Friday. Don't ask me to serve kids on Sundays. God, I'm a really gifted musician and I make money from that, but don't you dare ask me to lead worship on Sunday mornings. Lord, of course I'm a teacher, but I can't possibly use that gift to teach others about you. So here's the question. How often do we lie to the Holy Spirit? Here, Lord, you could have this portion of my income and of my time, but no, this portion belongs to me. Listen, they didn't just lie to the church, Ananias and Sapphira, or to the apostles. They lied to the Holy Spirit. The same word for held back used in verse 1 is the same word in Joshua 7, verse 1, to describe the sin of Achan that led to the dramatic defeat and loss of the Israelite lives in battle. I want you to read Joshua 7, 16 through 26. We can't read it today, but it was something that eventually led to families' lives being lost. Them holding back was eventually what led to an entire community being affected and changed because of them holding back. All because people held back from God. Remember, I told you this isn't going to be a warm and fuzzy message. This is going to be a hard message that causes us to ask some questions about ourselves. Let's keep going in Acts 5, verses 5 and 6. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Things are getting real now. Can't tell me the Bible's not interesting. You can't tell me it's not. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. Guys, this is church. Dude lied to the Holy Spirit. Dropped dead in church. The young dudes wrapped him up in a sheet, took him outside and buried him. Hold up! God, this is kind of harsh, don't you think? Like, just bam, it's a wrap? Many of us would have just felt way better if Peter would have just interrupted and said, hey, listen, Ananias, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. You're great. You have so much potential. I just want you to meditate on God's love. Really just want you to focus on your identity. I know I'm joking, but that's really what Ananias really needed to do. He really just needed to know who he was. If he would have knew who he was, he would have never lied to God. That would have never happened. How many of you really would have been terrified at that moment? Like, you're in church, an offering just got received, dude dropped dead. The young guys wrap him in a sheet, take him outside. I would have been shook. I would have never looked at sheets the same way. I would have been really reassessing my commitment to Jesus at that moment. And I definitely would have made a bigger offering. I'm being serious. I'd have been like, listen, God don't play games. If I was there at that moment, listen, this really opens up a perspective that God will not allow Satan to mess with his church. He won't. God will not allow Satan a foothold within his community. God was sending a message that the Holy Spirit and lying cannot coexist within the church. So this makes me ask the question, could it be that we're not fully experiencing the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in today's church because we have deceit, because we have lying? And some of us have said that we've gave our all, but we're really holding back. Makes me ask the question, why don't we see people dropping dead now? Why? Do you really want God to still do that? This is the time where I really want audience participation. I want all of you to say no. Like, all of you really, really, really say no. No, I don't want God to do that. Because the truth is we're all deceitful. We've all held back from God. All of us. I'm in line. I can give more to God. You can give more to God. I watched the Bengals game yesterday. I could have spent more time with God yesterday. I watched some of the Packers game. Not all of it, but I could have spent more time with God yesterday. Guess what? I sinned yesterday. I got hangry. You're all laughing, but you sinned too. Some of y'all probably did something in traffic yesterday you shouldn't have did. Y'all laughing because you did. I'm being serious. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm thankful that he's not striking us dead in the middle of a church service anymore. But he wants us to have a desire to do better. He wants us to learn from Ananias and Sapphira. He wants us to be encouraged and empowered by the Holy Spirit, not to be in fear of him. We're going to keep reading here. We're going to see what happens. But I'm so thankful that we're not being struck dead in the middle of a church service. So, Acts 5, 7 through 9. I want you all to catch this more than the first service did. About 3 hours later. Thank you. Can we all read that part together? Like, really do it? Let's read it. Come on, together.
About 3 hours later.
No, come on. You know what we're doing. Come on. In your best SpongeBob voice. Let's go. There we go. This is the transition now. Now, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, what was the price you and your husband received for your land? Was this the price your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied. That was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. She had a chance to be honest and make it right. The same guys now have to go dig another grave. I don't know where that accent came from. It just happened. Are you serious, though? These guys had to be, like, questioning some things. Verse 10, instantly, not even a second, instantly, it says, she fell to the floor and died. When the young man came in and saw that she was dead, it doesn't say they asked questions. It doesn't say that they said, come on. It doesn't say that they're like, again? No, it says they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Then it says, great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. Fear gripped the entire church. The Holy Spirit is meant to be revered, not feared. I want you to catch this, church. This is the first time in the book of Acts that the word church is used. And isn't it unfortunate that the first time the word church is used, the word fear is attached to it? You can't tell me that the devil doesn't hate the church because he's trying to steal it the first time it's talked about. He's trying to give it fear the first time it's talked about in the book of Acts. He's trying to instill fear the first time the word is mentioned. He's trying to steal the church the first time it's talked about. The Holy Spirit does not want you to fear Him. He wants you to revere Him, to give Him honor. Fear is debilitating. Reverence gives you empowerment. The fear of God is supposed to be healthy. It's really easy. The fear of God, what does it look like for you to love God and to love what He loves and to hate what He hates? To know that one day you'll give an account to God. That's it. Love what He loves, hate what He hates, and know that you're going to stand before Him one day and give an account for your life and give an account for what He's given you and give an account for what you've done with it. That means the gifts. That means the money. That means everything. Your children, how you've raised them, the money, how you've spent it, what you've done with the things that He's given you. Have you honored Him with everything? You know, all those sounds that kids make in church, it's literally the best sound that you can have in a church. I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it. That is the sound of a church that is alive. If you don't have those sounds in a church, your church is dying. It's honest. Those are the best sounds ever. I will never stop them, ever. They can scream. This is their church just as much as it's an adult church. Let's keep going. You may ask the question here, why did God kill these two individuals? Anyone ask that question? Anyone ever think that? Why in the world did God kill them? I want to answer the question. God did not kill Ananias and Sapphira. God took His blessing off of them. God took His hand off of them. Okay? Their lying killed them. Okay? God did what He was supposed to do and removed Satan from His church. Because remember, what did it say? That Satan filled their hearts. So God did what He said. He removed Satan from His church. He lifted His blessing off of them. God means business. Satan has no place in the church. And He's going to do whatever He has to do to remove him. So let's keep going here. We're going to transition now. Okay? Nobody else is going to drop dead anymore during the offerings. Okay? That's over. That's done now. Let's go to verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. Listen, they were meeting regularly, the same passion, one mind, one word, and they all obeyed. No matter what, God was still adding to their numbers. The Holy Spirit was still at work. The Holy Spirit was still in control. The Holy Spirit was still moving. The Holy Spirit was still in control. Church, God is going to do whatever He has to do to grow His church. Let's keep going here. Verse 15 and 16. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. So that his shadow might fall. The Holy Spirit was moving in such a way that people were coming in groves just so Peter's shadow would overshadow them. God was moving in such a way that people were crowding the streets so that healing would take place. People, I don't know about you, but I want to see this type of power take place in White Oak and McKeesport and North Versailles and East McKeesport and Elizabeth and Elizabeth Township and Clareton. Name any other, whatever city you're from, whatever town you're from, name it. We'll be here all day if I keep going. North Huntington, Irwin. You know, I said Norwin once and somebody corrected me because it's not a real place and I figured out why. You know that Norwin is North Huntington and Irwin combined? And that's why it's called Norwin School District? How many of you just learned that today? Just now. Norwin's not a real place. It's just the school district because it's North Huntington. And seriously, that you just learned that? Yeah. You were today years old when that happened. Listen, Peter was so infilled with the presence of the Holy Spirit that the light was in him. It enveloped him. It projected an image of him that produced the same effect of the incarnation of Jesus. He was so ingrained with the Holy Spirit, so devoted to God, that he was projecting the presence of Jesus in such a way that people were being changed and transformed. What are you projecting? What are people seeing when you're walking the streets? What are people seeing when you walk into work? What are people seeing when you walk out of here? What do people sense when you walk into Plaza Azteca after church today? I'm going there today. Rachel, we're going. That's all I've been thinking about. I'm just being honest. I'm going to be honest, shame the devil. I want fajitas, guys. I just really do. And tell the truth and shame the devil in church. Whoever wants to come can come. Who's coming? Liam's coming, Sarah. The Holy Spirit is an outworking of the presence of Jesus. Church, I want to encourage you that if you want the Holy Spirit to work through you, you have to be in the presence of Jesus. How do you allow that to happen? You need to be spending time with Him. What are the preset conditions for a Holy Spirit-empowered life? Church, you need to be spending time in prayer. Peter was allowing for the Holy Spirit to be projected out of his life because he was spending time in prayer. The Holy Spirit was being projected off of Peter's life. Healing was being projected off of Peter's life because he was in unity and fellowship with Jesus and with the people around him. Jess, you can start to make your way up. Peter was allowing the Holy Spirit to be projected off of his life because he was walking in obedience to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was being projected off of Peter's life because there was a sanctified common sense to everything that he did. Church, in order for us to see the power of the Holy Spirit functioning in our life, it's not really complicated. It really isn't. We need to be growing, and we need to not hold back. And we definitely need to not lie to God. Not be deceitful towards the Holy Spirit. And continue to grow together. This is a shameless plug for the growth track on January 30th. You may say, I don't know how to grow. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to be obedient to God. I don't know how to read His Word. I need reawakened in those things. January 30th, 5 to 8 p.m. at our North Braddock campus. We're all going to be together. Be there. Kevin's going to talk about it more, but let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. So all of us, everybody say all of us. It covers us all who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. How do we first become more and more like Him? First and foremost, we have to have first met Him. So if you're here today and you've never had that moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where you've met Him at the cross, where you've received Him as the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future, I want today to be your day. January 23rd, 2022. It could be the day where you start to be changed into His image. Who you once were no longer matters. Your past starts to be changed into your future. So if you never have a day, a time, a place where you had your eternity set, it's real simple. The Word of God says that all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. Saved from what? From yourself. All you need to do is just raise your hand to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need you. I need to know that I'm forgiven. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to him today because you tried to run away from Jesus, tried to live for your own self again. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you for everybody that can hear my voice today. Lord, I thank you that your presence allows for us to have a devotion time towards you. God, I pray that each of us would have a personal devotion time, a personal quiet time. That our devotion time, our reading, our prayer, our worship would be multiplied. God, I pray that our corporate devotion, the time that we together spend in the Word would be multiplied. The time that we together spend in prayer. The time that we together spend in unity and fellowship would be multiplied, Lord. God, I pray the time that we corporately give and worship would be multiplied. Lord, I pray that each of us would not take lightly what you want to do through us. God, that we would understand that you as our Father will not hold back anything from us. Hold back from you, it keeps us from your blessing. It keeps us from experiencing everything that you have for us as individuals. It keeps us from experiencing everything that you have for us as your church. And Lord, I pray we as your church would experience everything that you do have for us. And God, that we as your sons and daughters would get to experience our full inheritance, both here and in heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.